I listen to the Holy Spirit more than anybody, to be honest with you. Like 100 yeah. people in a room can say something. If my spirit is not convinced, knowing I'm in the word, I'm not following you. It's so embedded in me that, look, if Christ leaves my life, I might as well die. My mom didn't leave me no money. My mom left me with the capability to be a billionaire. There you go, exclusive. No one knows this, by the way. So you, I just gave you free exclusive. So you think me and Deborah are at home praying for her to walk? They're sadly mistaken, because actually her not being able to walk has made her the special woman that she is.
Hi, welcome to the Comsy podcast. My name is Damio Keke, I'm your host, and it's a pleasure to have you with me again. Today, I'm joined by Ghanaian British film director, writer, and executive producer who was born in Ivory Coast but raised in South London. He works in film and TV and has worked on projects including Top Boy, Noughts and Crosses, Dreaming Whilst Black, which I absolutely loved, and a series of hard-hitting, captivating short films. He is the founder of DBK Studios, making content for untold stories, especially Black and diverse narratives. Kobe Adam, welcome.
That's a good intro.
Was it nice?
Yes, it was all right.
Gravitas.
Feeling myself now.
Now, what really intrigues me about you is your humility. You're so down to earth. If someone had done half of what you've managed to achieve, they'd be like, don't talk to me. Like, don't, like, ask about me. But you're so down to earth. Can you just tell me, one, is that a conscious decision? And two, how do you stay grounded?
I'll come clean. Sometimes I feel like they don't talk to me, but that's the reality. Do you know what I mean? We're all human beings.
Yeah.
But I guess it's down to the word of God. Do you know what I'm saying to you? That's what I hold myself accountable to. I decided, do you know what I mean? Like, my identity is, you know, my relationship with Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? And everything that comes with it. So I think that, you know, it's very easy to go according to your feelings. You know, feelings are usually as a reaction to what you can see with your eyes by sight. Yeah. So obviously, I guess if I choose to act on that feeling, then I'm living by sight, not by faith. So for me, it's kind of like, look, I know that humbling myself before the Lord is what got me in my position in the first place. So I can't now switch it up. I think, you know, that's obviously the architect, you know.
You're wearing sunglasses.
You feel me? Yeah, I can't see you. Don't get me wrong, though. I do think there's a fine line and there is a balance, because, you know, the Bible also says to guard your heart. Above all else, then that includes managing the access that people have to you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think there is a fine line, and actually growing up, I've had to kind of exercise my boundaries, if that makes sense, and not really care what that comes across like. I know I'm not, you know, trying to be rude. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So, and I'm not trying to be arrogant. So if I know that for some strange reason I don't feel like giving access, I'm going to listen to my spirit, because I am in the word. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So I am being guided.
Yeah. But a lot of the Holy time, Spirit is telling you something.
Yes, I listen to the Holy Spirit more than anybody, to be honest with you. Like 100 people in a room can say something. If my spirit is not convinced, knowing I'm in the word, I'm not following you. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think for me, I choose humility, because humility isn't, you know, diminishing myself. Humility begins after my boundaries. Do you get what I'm saying? So after I've applied my boundaries, I'm not going to go and seek for any more pride, any more power.
Yeah.
And I don't need to be praised. Do you get what I'm saying to you? If you say thank you, if you say you did well, I'm always going to say glory to God, because that's where I genuinely feel like everything comes from. So,
you know what? The industry that you're in is very much about praise. It's very much about awards.
Of course.
You know, Oscars. You know,
vanity,
all these,
isn't it? Yeah,
there's so much. It's a very, there's a lot of reward system. There's a lot of, you know, different kind of events for, you know, Hollywood and all these types of. But you say there was something interesting that you said about you don't need to be praised. Why do you think, like, why do you think you have that sense of self-worth, that sense of value, that sense of, you know, I know who I am, I know my worth, I don't need anybody to, you know, even as a director, I know the quality that I deliver. Why do you think you have that?
Again, back to the word, isn't it? But I think also, if I'm being totally honest and transparent, as we're humans and we are flesh, sometimes, you know, unintentionally, you know what I'm saying to you, we'll kind of require the need to be praised, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, look, when I'm on set, listen, I don't lift a finger. Do you know what I'm saying? There's, what, over 200 people running
Wow.
At the drop of a hat. Do you get what I'm saying to you? If you say, look, I'm thirsty, before you finish your sentence, there's water there.
So all those pictures of you looking like you're really working hard are just...
Yeah, those are for show still. You know what I mean? When I get some 5 minutes, I'll look like... But I'm look, I think directors, you know, I guess have been lauded because we do work hard. That's the reality. We're involved in every single last department that you see there. Do you know what I'm saying to you? We've put in 1,000,000 hours to prepare for what we're about to do. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So look, but I just think that above all else, for me personally, so I think for me, just kind of like, look, I forgot where I read this, and I'm not even sure if it's biblical because I didn't read it in the Bible. But it says, what got Satan kicked out of heaven? And it wasn't because he sinned. It was because of pride. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he tried to align himself with the glory of God. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Yeah. So for me, it's just kind of like, I do fear God, bruv. I'm not trying to take God's glory. Do you know what I'm saying to you? And you know what? I always say to people, praise and pressure is the exact same thing on two different sides of the fence. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So if you want to take the praise, you better be ready for the pressure. And if you get loads of praise, those same people who are praising you are going to be the same people pressuring you. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Look at Jesus. 1 minute was Hosanna. Do you know what I'm saying to you? The next minute was crucify him. You feel my drift? So
that is so deep.
All I'm going to do is let me give the glory to God. Do you know what I'm saying to you? He can also take the pressure. You get what I'm saying?
I love that.
Let me just be the vessel that I'm supposed to be. And I know for a fact, if I'm a vessel of the Lord, there's a guarantee there that I'm going to do super well in this life.
Yeah.
I know he's going to protect me. I know he's going to look after me and my family. He's going to prosper me. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So for me, I need to be a vessel of Christ Jesus. And I need to do that unapologetically. But the first part of that is the accountability. I need to make sure that I am aligning with the word that I read every day.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include me taking praise or demanding praise and demanding power.
I'm going to stick that on the wall somewhere.
Do it, man.
If you're ready to have the praise, then
take the pressure.
Ready for the pressure.
Because it's a lot. I'll be real with you. Like in my industry, people love to... I feel like there is a bit of a draw out that people should be aware of if you step into entertainment. You know, I think the draw out from the dark side is, let's give them the praise.
Yeah.
They do blow a lot of smoke up your... They do blow a lot of, you know, they try to sort of like make you pump you up so that you start to believe the praise.
I was watching, I don't know, one of those videos from one of the awards ceremonies, some kind of gala, some kind of Hollywood event. And two actresses, you know, came across one another and they started like... you know, really bigging each other up, like, I stand, like, you know. And a part of me was like, on one hand, this is amazing, you know, two women, you know, hyping each other up. But another part of me did think, I wonder if this is the currency.
It is. It's that, like, money, isn't it?
You know, like, this is how we, you know, this is how we exchange.
Yeah.
You know, you're amazing. Oh, no, you're amazing. Mm. No, you're amazing. And like, you know, we can go on.
You can go for it. It is a currency. However, it doesn't mean everybody is using a currency. Like, for example, with me, if I think you're sick, you'll know about it. But in the same breath, I'm that type of person. If you're flopping, you'll know about it equally. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So I'm that type of person that if you do good, you'll never stop hearing about it.
Yeah, well done.
But if you don't do good, you also hear. But do you know what I'm saying to you? So a lot of the time in my line of work, people will maybe not really believe in you as much, but they'll still say, oh, you're sick, because everybody else is saying you're sick. Do you get what I'm saying?
I see what you mean.
So, but for me, I'm not really about. I don't go to parties. I don't go to, unless my film is up for an award or I'm going to an award show I've been invited to, or I'm there to speak, or there's a reason for me being there, I don't go. Because I don't want to really go. Like, I'm more of a family man. I like spending time with, you know, my people who I can trust in my safe space.
Yeah.
Again, because the Bible says to guard your heart above all else, actually. That's the main part of that scripture, above all else. You feel me? So, look, I think praise is something that I don't want. Actually, I told God what I want. Call it artificial. I want money. I want to enjoy my life. I'm going to do your work, but please... You feel me?
Okay, we're going to come back to that.
We'll come back to it. I know I shouldn't love money. I love God more, but bring me the money because I love you already.
We need to talk about that.
Yes.
We're coming back to that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just tell me a little bit about your upbringing.
Sure.
I know that you're a man of faith. Anyone who was in doubt after hearing what they've heard from you can categorically say you're a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
But you were born in Ivory Coast, but you're Ghanaian, but you grew up in the UK. Can we start with how and why... And then go into, you know, your faith upbringing.
Both my parents are Ghanaian. My mum and dad both moved to Ivory Coast for work. My dad used to be the chief executive of WAFI, which is now the West African Football Association.
Hey.
And my mum was, she was a secretary for one of the main bosses at ADB, which is the African Development Bank, which are actually huge in sort of like funding projects in Africa quite soon after they all got independence. Do you know what I mean? So I mean, ADB are a very iconic company. I don't know what they're up to these days.
Yeah.
But my parents were they were very well to do. So them times when my parents were in Cote d'Ivoire, they weren't there as poor people grinding. They were doing really well. We're living in a nice area. I went to a private French speaking school. I even remember the peacocks in the playgrounds and stuff. Do you get what I'm saying? So my first language was actually French because I was born in Cote d'Ivoire.
Bonjour. And then,
it's como. I only speak English now, love. What? Sorry, yeah, I forgot every word. Every word. I'm not French no more, love. Yeah, maybe Rosetta Stone can save me one day, but now all it's I speak there. Is English.
Deep, if I practice in your subconscious. It.
But right now, my brain is at capacity, so I'm just sticking to English. I use Google Translate if I need to speak to anyone else. You feel me?
Cool.
But yeah,
cool.
Soon after, you know, there's a lot happened. You know, obviously, I'm not going to go too deep into family business, but. Yeah. You know, my dad eventually moved to the UK. Then there was a lot of moving around. So after Ivory Coast, I came to like London. Then I went back to Ghana where I lived for 2 years and I came back to London. Mad. Ivory Coast, there was a lot of movement in the first, I'd say, 8 years of my life. Wow. So from 1990 to 1998, there was a lot of sort of movement.
Actually, How did that affect you?
Quite a lot, because when I was eight and I came back and I was in that year three, I believe, my mum actually told me that I couldn't speak French, English, anything properly. So I was in this sort of middle ground where communication was actually a problem for me. Do you get what I'm saying? Because it's like...
How ironic, because now you speak without even... You don't even need words now.
You know, that's the Holy Spirit, you know, if you feel me.
I mean, like, in terms of, like, your directing film, like you speak with a different type of language, if you like.
Is it? But you know what? I think, look, all things work together for the good of the Lord, isn't it? And I think that journey was crafted by God. Because... I'm someone that I can exist in any space, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? And
you're a survivor.
Yeah. And I think that being the formative years of my life from 0 to 8 years old, I'm moving around. I guess God's given me that
ability. For a reason,
do you get what I'm saying to you? So, so that's the background. And then from 8 till now, South London. Do you know what I mean? Now I'm 34, so you do the maths on that. That's what?
Yeah.
26 years in South London.
I'm very good at maths.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't know if that's...
I don't want to say the other one.
It's even accurate. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. So, faith.
Yes.
In terms of your walk with God.
Yes.
I remember the first time that I encountered you, I encountered your work. You were screening a beautiful... kind of ode to your younger sister, Deborah. Deborah's Letter.
Correct.
And your mum was there.
Mm-hmm.
She was beaming. Mm. She was so proud.
Mm-mm-mm.
I could just tell. First of all, you kind of look alike.
Yeah, spitting image.
But I was like, that's Kobe's mum for sure, for sure. And she was so proud.
Mm-mm.
I've seen on Instagram, you're always talking about she's your angel and everything. What role does she play in your faith? I'm sure she did play a role.
Oh, look, God being the architect, if I didn't know God, she's the architect, isn't it? Do you know what I'm saying to you? She raised us Christians.
Yeah.
The first ever Bible I got, do you know what I mean? When we was living in Ghana, I remember I was seven. She put that in my hand. I still have that same Bible to date.
Wow.
It's tattered. I finished it, isn't it? So it's like now it's in tatters. Mm. But that's the oldest item I have. But you see, my mum, I remember she said something to me, and that kind of encapsulates her role in my relationship with Christ when I was 7 years old. And I remember when my little sister Deborah was born, she was born in Spina Bifida and she was born in Ghana. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So obviously it's one of those ones where it's quite a dire situation. Really tough. So we were living in some place and I remember this conversation so clearly when she said to me, like, look, I'm seven and I still remember this today. And she said to me, look, I'm not going to ever force you to be a Christian or to follow Christ, but I just wanted to keep an eye on your sister. Just watch her life. Do you know what I'm saying to you? As a testimony. And she said that to me at seven. Wow. Deborah's life has been nothing but testimony since.
Yeah.
Like, literally moving mountains. Like, when you read the Bible, we might as well split the Red Sea for us to walk through as well. Like, is that crazy? So I think for me, because I've always... I love my little sister to bits.
Yeah.
I live with her now. Do you know what I mean? Wow. Like, that's probably the closest person I am full stop in life. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So it's kind of like, you know, with sort of having watched her from seven till now, where she was a baby, but now she's 27. She's going on 27 in like 2-3 days. It's quite timely. Her life is just a testimony that didn't allow me to not believe in God. It wouldn't make sense. I'll give you one testimony.
Wow.
So I used to fear her going to secondary school because of her disability.
Yeah.
Not only did she go in there and absolutely...
Blitz it.
But she went there. And before she went there, the government actually gave that school that she went to, which is a grammar school, about £10 million to just revamp the whole building just because she was going there. And now because of her, other people with disabilities that can access that school. How did mum know that? Nothing but faith. Like, she's, how would she know? And mum died eventually at 61. But it's kind of like, bruv, for you to come in 61 years and have such an impact. Like, when she got at her funeral, it was packed. There was no space.
Imagine.
Everybody's almost like, not to sound blasphemous, do you know what I'm saying to you, but it's almost the impact Jesus had, do you know what I'm saying to you, in that sense. But,
well, he said we would do great works.
Thank you. And in his name. And you know what I mean? So we're creating his image. And mum done that. She acted in his image. She wasn't perfect. None of us are. But honestly, her decisions that she made was all embedded in the Lord. And she raised all three of her kids. And her prayer request of all of us is to find the Lord. And me and my older sister have both been baptized, isn't it? So, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, man. Like, so honestly, I just feel like, you know, my mum was sent into this world, you know what I'm saying, to really, like, honestly, no one can talk me out of my relationship with God. It's impossible. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've had all kinds of conversations. Oh, my goodness. Hard. It's so embedded in me that, look, if Christ leaves my life, I might as well die. I don't even want to be here anymore. Put it that way. Wow. Me and my girl on the way here were actually even talking about this. And she's thinking, how does anybody who doesn't believe in Christ live their life, bro? Like, you know, and I'm actually scared of those people as well. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Because it's kind of like, what do you attribute your life to? Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's not me to disagree.
We're not trying to be judgmental.
Yeah, I'm not judgmental
or, you know, high and mighty
or dismissing or insulting anybody else's belief in their higher power. But do you know what I'm saying to you? What I've been having a lot of discussions recently with people from other sort of religious disciplines. And they're good conversations. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I've had conversations with and we see the sort of similarities in the beliefs. Do you get what I'm saying to you? And I think what I love about those conversations is that they're not trying to talk me out of mine. And I'm not trying to talk you out of yours. We're actually just sharing in the space where we both feel that we can. Do you get what I'm saying to you? But I feel like my mum embedded that confidence in me to go and seek. And another bit of advice mum gave me before she passed. She goes, with the word of God, don't listen to me, your dad, no pastor. Make sure you read that book for yourself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, how are you going to tell the difference, right? Yeah. She told me that. So now, I've read the Bible at least back to front twice. You know, now I'm on my third run. Do you get what I'm saying to you? And it's like, I'm going to keep reading it because for me, I believe in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to lord any pastor. I'm not going to lord anybody. I'm going to lord God himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying to you? Through Christ. Do you know what I'm saying? Amazing. So that's my confidence in life. That's what I base everything on. That's my belief system. That's my faith. That's my drive. That's my hunger. That's everything, man. Yeah. So,
what really fascinates me about what you said is your sister, Deborah, born with spina bifida, and for some reason, you see that as glorifying God. Obviously, not the fact that she's had challenges, but there are so many people who would see that as like a flaw in the system. Like, this is just injustice, this is unfair. Sure. Whoever it is that's responsible, this is wrong.
Yeah.
What about your understanding of the nature of God, the love of God, his preeminence? What about it makes you so confident, even in that disability, that this is for the glory of God?
Bruv, Deborah's the most reliable person I know. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I rely on Deborah more than she relies on me.
Wow.
Do you get what I'm saying? Deborah lives her best life. She travels where she wants to go. She's always got money. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Like, she does her thing. Like, you know what? Wow. I know people who have walked their whole life that haven't achieved the level of stability Deborah has. Do you know what I'm saying to you? And you know what? There's one time when because obviously I've been in the Word. You know, like I said, I'm not perfect, but I've been in the Word. So I'm always like to her, Deborah, trust me, do you know what I mean? You can walk if you have the faith that you want. Yeah. You know, you can walk, like, you just have to believe. And she says something to me one day that really blew my whole head and encapsulates this whole faith that I've got. And she goes, why does anyone assume that I want to walk? I've never walked, so I don't know what that feels like, but I live a good life. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So her normality is without walking. But everyone programs their brain to think walking is what's going to lead you to your purpose, or walking is what's going to take you
make
where you're supposed
easier.
To go. Bruv, all you've got is eyeballs. God will use those eyeballs to take you exactly where you need to go. Do you know what I mean? And for Deborah, without realizing, what she's saying to me is that, bruv, her faith in God is more important than the ability to walk. So when everyone's saying, oh yeah, you should pray to walk. No, the prayer is not to walk. It's God, let your will be done. Because his will has been done and is continuing to do. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So you think me and Deborah are at home praying for her to walk. You're sadly mistaken, because actually, her not being able to walk has made her the special woman that she is. My mum raised her with discipline. My mum raised her to be faithful. And of course, we all had sympathy, but we limited that sympathy. We're not about to make Deborah feel sorry for herself.
Yeah.
Deborah has never once complained or made an excuse using her disability, not once.
Wow.
Deborah, do you need me to take this upstairs for you? No, I'm okay. Deborah, do you want... No? She says no 80% of the time, if not 90. Yeah. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Which shows that without walking...
She's independent.
She's living her life. I went to Cape Town to shoot Noughts and Crosses. She was in that house by herself. Mm. A month after mum died, by herself.
Wow.
Just when you've just finished uni. Very pivotal time in anybody's life, let alone somebody who's about to take on adulthood with a disability. While she's grieving, she was the first to go therapy. Wow. Right? So we then all start emotionally relying on her. She's the youngest of all three kids. She's the baby. There's 7 years between me and Deborah. There's 11 years between Deborah and my older sister. Yet she's the glue in the family. Yeah.
Wow.
She's the one that looks after my sister and her kids when, do you know what I mean? And stuff like my nephew, Kemsey, my first nephew, has a brilliant relationship with Deborah. With that relationship there just blows my mind. But she's motherly. She's calm. But let's go back to the point I'm making. The fact of the matter is, when she was born, everyone was panicking.
Yeah.
And human beings would think you need to walk. What for?
Because we have this obsession with perfection.
Yeah.
This obsession with an ideal scenario.
Yeah.
No one wants to feel like they're starting on a back foot.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Everyone wants to feel like, you know, I want to give you the best chance in life.
Precisely.
And that includes, you know, being able-bodied.
Deborah is going to change the face of this world. Let me just... Even if it's not directly, like my mum, the influence that she has on people. Like at work, everybody relies on Deborah. Everybody loves Deborah. White, Puerto Rican, Haitian. Do you get what I'm saying to you? She's that person. She's the glue. That's the best adjective I have for Deborah. She brings people together. She's there for people.
Yeah.
She's soft. Do you know what I'm saying to you? But now I'm sort of like working with her to have boundaries because people like you are the people that people will exploit.
Do you get my drift?
But honestly, glory to God, because I'll be honest with you, the prayer and sacrifice that my mom made in itself, now that as an adult I'm thinking back, doesn't shock me that this is the result that we're dealing with.
The fruit is...
Do you get it? It's almost like mom knew she wasn't going to be here the way she raised Deborah.
The work.
Do you get my drift? She literally sacrificed her whole life, stopped working to raise this girl. She was literally like her handbag. Do you get what I'm saying to you? But mum...
And now she's sturdy.
Exactly.
She's so strong.
Exactly. So I've seen the faith. I've seen the works. I've seen the results. So how can I not have faith in putting work? It doesn't make sense.
When your mum passed, how did that rock you? Or was
It turns your life upside down. Put it this way. My mum passed end of July. Yeah. My career's taken off at the same time. Mum passed end of July. By November the 5th, I'm in Cape Town by myself shooting BBC One show. So mum seen me grinding. The film haircut that I made that started everything. She did the catering for on set in February 2018. Come the end of July, she's dead. Now all the fruits of my labor starts to come. She ain't seen it, never in the flesh. So as a human being, of course, that's going to turn your life upside down, man. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't even really enjoy these fruits because it's kind of like, wow. Like
the person I would have lavished with.
It's not even
that.
It's deeper than that. The reason why I worked so hard and had so much faith is because I used to see my mum was so upset. And I used to think, oh, yeah, it's because of money and stuff. So in my brain, my motivation wasn't I'm going to do this on Christ. My motivation is that I'm going to hustle.
I'm going to make it for
make her. Some money so this woman can just live her best life. Then the money came and she vanished.
Wow.
Which is a testimony in itself. You see, God will give you a motivation in life. That doesn't mean that's what's going to transpire. He just needs you to do the job.
It's a setup.
It's a setup. And you know what? You're not even angry at God thereafter because not only will he make the pain go away, right? But he'll also give you understanding.
Yeah.
If you seek him, if you seek the word, he'll show you the why. If he trusts you, you have to build trust with God. Do you get what I'm saying to you? If you want to be a baby about it and say, oh, why did you take my mom away? Which I did, don't get me wrong. I've got that relationship with Christ.
Mm.
We go back and forth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying to you? But it's one of them ones where I'll be honest with you, losing mum is the worst and the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's the best way I can put it. It's the worst thing ever by sight, by faith. Honestly, I can't put into words the glory of the Lord that comes from that. Like, I'll give you a tidbit of it, right?
Yeah.
So you look at my life since mum's died. Let's put that to the side. Go on Google if you want to see the
Google
you know what I'm
me,
saying?
Baby.
Google me, man. Do you know what I'm saying? My Deborah, we've already discussed that. Deborah right now, and I'm not saying this to be for the sake of the testimony or to be biased, is the most sturdy person I know in my life.
Yeah.
In 34 years that I've lived on this earth, Deborah is the most sturdy person I lived in my life. My older sister has three kids. Mom used to work teach people how to speak English as a second language, so like refugees or whatever. There's one person in particular she used to tell me about all the time. But she lost contact with him, right? And he tried to apply for his stay in the UK and got rejected about 3 or 4 times. She'd done his application for him, passed away. I went to South Africa, came back in March 2019. I turned on mom's phone. I'm seeing loads of missed calls from this guy. So obviously, I call him to give him the bad news. Mom's dead. He starts crying on the phone. He cried more than me. Talking about, that's my mom, you know, all of that. And he goes, you know what? I lost touch, but I feel so bad. I was trying to call her again to tell her that I've got my stay in the UK.
Wow.
Cut long story short, everybody that mom knew or that I knew or you knew mom was aware of, right? The situation was one way before she died. After she died, they're flourishing.
Yeah. So God is like, her labor was not in vain.
You said something earlier, which I need to put my finger on. People think, oh yeah, I'm going to have kids and I need to leave them money. They have to be able to walk. All the things by sight. Listen, my mom didn't leave me no money. My mom left me with the capability to be a billionaire in the name of the Lord. That's what people don't understand. Yeah, because I've been listening to someone called Myron Golden recently, yeah?
Okay.
It says in Genesis chapter 13, verse 2, is the first time wealth is mentioned in the Bible when it's talking about Abraham. And he said he was very rich.
Yeah.
He didn't say he was rich. He said he was very rich because he was a friend of God.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying to you? Yeah. In silver and gold and livestock. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So the thing about me is I'm not trying to be... I know it's the second time I've mentioned money. I just know that my ministry includes billions.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm so grateful you came back to that because I said I was coming back.
Good. That's why I brought it back for you.
So you said after God...
No, after God, my loved ones.
Your loved ones.
Because I don't want to be rich by myself. I'd rather be poor with my loved ones.
Okay. But then the money is also...
God...
Explain that to me. As a child of God, explain that to me. Because, you know, people, you know, there's all this talk about prosperity, gospel. You know, Jesus was meek and lowly. And all this,
I know I'm ready to put in the work. Like, I'm ready to make sacrifices.
You're not lazy. You're not trying to make money.
I give relentlessly because both my parents give.
You're generous.
I can't give myself adjectives. I just know I give relentlessly.
Yeah.
Like, I will never look at someone in need and turn my back. My spirit won't allow me. So because I know I'm doing those things already, am I going to ignore the part in the Bible that says that my provision is going to be much?
Pressed down, shaken together.
Come on, man.
Running over.
Please, I read the Bible. So no one's going to make me feel bad for knowing that I'm going to be rich.
Yeah.
Why am I going to be rich? Because my purpose on earth requires the wealth.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm in media. Right, which we could go and say is probably one of the darkest industries you can enter. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So do you think that without wealth,
Do you have impact?
What impact am I having? Can we call a spade a spade? I'm not going to go into the plans and aspirations I've got here in this podcast now. But I'll tell you, if I tell anybody today, they'll laugh. And every time people laugh, every time people have something negative to say, every real and logical fact you've got to give me just excites my belly to know that, wow, so I'm actually going to be rich because I've read this in the Bible. There's going to be opposition. Do you get my drift? And I say I'm going to be rich. I'm already rich.
Yeah.
With all due respect. Do you know what I'm saying to you?
Okay.
I'm not saying, tell them. Yeah, boom, boom.
You're not boasting.
Wealth isn't, I've got money, I'm going to buy a Lambo. Right now, you don't see me wearing no designer. Do you get what I'm saying to you? But you see, wealth is all about leverage. It's all about influence. It's all about network.
Yeah.
If I want to get up today and make a film, I'm getting it done. Money or not. It's all about value.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, I'm a very high value man.
Yeah.
Right? And what do I mean by that? Because I know for a fact, if someone says, Kobe, I need your help to get this done. We are getting it done yesterday. Yeah. Do you get my drift? So it's not a case of me boasting and using it for myself. It's a case of saying, because I'm a helper, right? I can leverage from here.
And serve there.
And serve there. You use the key word, service. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a servant of people. I'm a servant of my loved ones. I can't serve without the bread. Let's call a spade a spade. What use have I got with no peas and erif?
Do you get what I'm saying to you?
God knows my heart. My desires come from heaven. I want the big house of gates. I don't want to live in the block. It's not by force.
Yeah.
I've lived in the block.
We've done it, Lord.
You get my drift? I've done that side of things. If you want to complain, I've done that side of things. I know where I'm heading. Yeah. So my vision will remain intact. I don't care what anyone thinks about that, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
tell me about DBK Studios.
Sure.
Tell me about that because it sounds to me like that's part of the...
Yes.
The vision.
Part of the vision. It is the vision.
That's the vision.
It stands for done by the king.
Do you know...
There you go. Exclusive. No one knows this, by the way. So I just gave you free exclusive.
Do you know what's really funny? For the longest time, I'm like, yeah, of course, DBK, because...
Directed Kobe, by Kobe.
Because... No, darling. Clearly
it's
not.
It's done by the king.
Done by the king.
And that's the vehicle to which all this vision that I have, which I can't talk on too much in this podcast, is going to flourish from. Like, it's called DBK Studios. The key word studios for a reason, because a studio is not a production company. A studio is a facilitator of production companies, right? Is a facilitator of economy. You feel my drift? Like, is
you know what you're saying to me reminds me so much, and I'm not making this comparison to underplay what God is doing in your life, because it's going
to
be distinct. And I'm sure
you
get this all the time, because people categorize us. Yeah. Oh, you're a Christian,
you're
a director, so you're like Tyler Perry. You're exactly the same.
No, exactly.
Your stories are. Couldn't be further from different.
Do you get my drift?
And your callings couldn't be further from different.
But it's also very similar. So I get it.
But the studio, when you talk about studios, that's something that he's done that is remarkable.
Precisely.
It got people's attention.
And have you seen the fruit? Oh, yeah, but there you go. So you feel me? I already know that, look, with DBK Studios, what's going to happen is, it's not a production, it's not a studio that's just going to just make stuff. Do you get what I'm saying to you? It's a studio that's going to make stuff that glorifies God. Now there's a scripture in I think it's Romans, don't quote me on that, but it says you're not of this world, but you're in this world. And the fact of the matter is, while you're in this world, you're supposed to communicate with the world.
How am I going to communicate
with the world? Do you get what I'm saying to you? If I don't come down to their level. So when
You've
I tell
to be able to make those transactions.
That's a fact. So when I tell films, I tell all kinds of films, we're not gonna shy away from any topic because God is never absent. Do you get what I'm saying to you? God is never absent. And you know what? As Christians, we need to start being a lot bolder and stop hiding behind these topics. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Because the thing about God is, you don't have to do much to sell God. Just put the situation in front of people without being one-sided. Just lay it there in front of them and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. And I feel you can do that in any film about any topic with anybody involved. Let's remember who's in charge here is God.
It's so funny because... my pastor was saying something like this, and I'm basically talking about the fact that one of the reasons why in the UK there's so much less Christian impact is because Christians almost isolated themselves. We're different. We're not a part of this world. So instead of trying to have impact,
you turn into Pharisees.
They separated. They separated themselves. And so it's like, okay, so you don't want to be part of what we're doing here. That's fine. You continue.
Sure.
And over time, they lost influence. They lost...
Course.
Impact.
So why are you here then? Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like, I don't, you're not supposed to make Christian films for Christians. That job's already done.
It's preaching to the choir.
Come on. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Really, if you're going to make films, right, which glorify God, you're supposed to show God's glory to people that don't know.
Yeah.
So my thing is, look, I've been on the streets.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like I said, I'm not perfect. My life ain't perfect. I'm not going to go into finer detail of what my upbringing is, but it wasn't rosy. It wasn't straightforward. Yeah.
If it's anywhere near where we said we're from.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's not straightforward. And obviously, I can't say I've always followed Christ the way I should have. Do you know what I'm saying to you? But the fact of the matter is, God has allowed me to connect with such people so that I speak their language, so that I can use that language to glorify God.
You can identify with them. They can identify with you.
Simple. And I've been in many places. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I've been in the industry. I've been on the streets.
Yeah.
I've been in different countries. I've been in Africa. I've been everywhere. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So, and then you pick up all these languages and you use that language to glorify God. It's as simple as that. Do you know what I'm saying to you? And for me, I'm not afraid of going to places. Like, look, for example, most production companies now, if they're looking for IP, will look for the loudest voices, the book that's popping, the Instagrammers that are popping, everything that's popping. Last place I went to look for IP was jail. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I went to jail because I know somebody in there who was putting on the play. And one of my friends who's currently inside, you know what I'm saying, he was telling me, oh, yeah, you know, come
he's
to this
good,
play.
He's good.
I wanted to play one of the best plays I've seen in my life. That guy's since come out and we're talking about now turning his content,
First of all,
making it happen.
I need to commend you. And this is not to just like big you up or whatever. It's actually to challenge people because by reason of doing this podcast, I've been able to gain insight in the way people work in that, you know, when there's people I've reached out to and it's kind of be like, who are you? Like, so I'm small. I mean, I'm a Christian. The people I'm reaching out to are Christians.
That's all you
But
that...
they're still like, who are you though? And one of
Fruits
the things
of the
that
Spirit.
I love about you is like you just said, your friend tells you someone in prison serving time is a great, you know, playwright or putting on a play, and you actually go. There's so many reasons why you could say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't, I can't make it. I'm very, very busy. But you actually honor that invitation. And I'm not surprised that you're excelling.
By God's grace.
It doesn't surprise me because it seems like the scripture says, you have set your eye like a flint.
Amen.
And you're so committed.
Amen, amen, amen.
To that vision. I don't think anyone can stop you, you know.
Can we... when you think, well, we're made in the image of Christ, right? Yeah. When Christ was here, who was he chilling with?
The, you know.
Thank you.
The marginalized, the ragamuffin.
I'm not going to say no labels here, but, yeah, he was with the...
The ones caught in adultery.
You
and,
get my drift. He was at the bottom of life, in inverted commas, you know what I'm saying to you. And to be quite frank, that says it all to me. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Like, the reality of the matter is, you know, I'm not interested in who's popping. I couldn't care less, honestly speaking. Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't enjoy those kind of parties. Like,
Kobe, it's hard.
It's not, you know. It's hard in this... Can I be real? It's not. It's not. It's not hard. It's not hard. I think, look, can I be honest with you? Once you actually decide to discipline... Look, someone gave me an analogy one time. When you go to the gym, right, you go and push those weights, you don't feel good.
No.
But you discipline yourself to keep doing that, you'll get addicted to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize
how good... Because you see the results.
Because then you start to see the fruits.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can tell if something's good or not is to just keep exercising it and see the fruits. Once you see the fruit is either left or right, make a decision thereafter. Yeah. But discipline is important, first and foremost, right? For example, that's how addiction works. That's what people don't understand.
You have to do.
It's a form of discipline.
It's not a one time and I was hooked. It's discipline. You go back and you go back.
It's discipline. Do you get what I'm saying to you? So, as for me, I know what it says in the words. So it starts off as that discipline where then I start to feel isolated and I start to feel like, it's a bit boring. And bruv, I'll be honest with you right now, I love my life, man. I absolutely love my life. If I wanted to go to these parties, you'll see me there.
Yeah.
You know, if I go there, I know 80% of the room. I watch things with my girl now. We look on, I say, oh, look at the credits. I know that person. I know that person. Oh, look, this guy texted me the other day. Do you get what I'm saying to you? But the fact is, I've got individual relationships with people that I've garnered over time using the word of God.
Kobe, I want to ask you this because I know a lot of people will be saying, you know, I want to work for the BBC. I want to be a billionaire too. I have those aspirations. I have those ambitions. What would be your final words to those who are both saved, not saved, believers, unbelievers, about success? What does God-given success look like, and how can they get on that trajectory?
Well, first you've got to seek it, man. You've got to understand what success means. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all about purpose in life. Do you know what I mean? If success is to be known and to have money, you're already lost. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Because you'll have clout and money and it will destroy you. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So for me, it's about understanding what exactly am I doing here? You get what I mean? Like, what's the mission? You know what I'm saying to you? And just focus on the mission. Because once you focus on the mission, everything just comes your way and it's like a magnet. Do you know what I'm saying to you? Every door that needs to open will open. Every door that needs to shut will stay firm shut. Do you know what I'm saying to you? But the life is actually a lot more simple than people allow it to be. Do you get what I'm saying to you? If you face your front and you strive for your front, everything that's supposed to happen will happen. And you just enjoy it. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Everything that's supposed to happen that's not good, you just firm it. Do you get what I'm saying to you? But everything is up to God. It's when you try to now do more than you're supposed to. You try to open doors that are never going to open for you. You try to ignore the open doors because it doesn't look like the closed doors. Now you're complicating your life.
How do you discern which ones are the right doors, the wrong doors?
The word of God, man, is a very precise thing. Do you get what I'm saying? The Bible is a very, very precise thing. In the moment, the word of God will ring in your spirit and you either choose to listen or not. Do you get what I'm saying? But God's grace, I'm in a place in my life where I've realized that the world just doesn't work for me. Even if the door opens, once I step through, don't feel good. Do you know what I'm saying to you? No matter how much money's there, no matter who, what familiar faces are there, I'm just not interested. I think that I'm at a stage in my life where I genuinely enjoy serving the Lord. I genuinely enjoy serving people.
Yeah.
And whatever comes of that, listen, it's the will of God, man. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So I'm happy to just, you get me, just take that all up, you know, and praise the Lord as I go, man. You know what I'm saying?
Amen. Kobe, thank you so much. Grace, man. You've inspired me. Okay. I'm like, damn me, you better go and read your Bible.
Yeah, read your Bible, boy.
More. Do it more. Let it flow out of you. Thank you so much for coming on the Come See Podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
We will ask you to come back again.
When you're ready.
In some months' time.
For sure.
Is there anything you can tell us about some projects? I know you said there's some things you can't share. Is there anything coming up that we should look out for?
Oh, sure. Okay, I've got a feature film that, you know what I'm saying, about God's superabundant grace I should be shooting this year.
Amen.
I've got a TV show that's already been commissioned for development by Sky Atlantic that I'm going to be shooting in Ghana. So I can't talk much more on that, but by God's grace, do you know what I'm saying? So we'll be seeing that.
Amen.
I'm going to be sort of like looking at commissioning new talent again. Do you know what I'm saying to you? So by, again, by God's grace, we'll get the necessary budget to go and sort of like continue my service to untold and unheard stories, voices and stories.
Amazing.
And yeah, man, just watch this space, man. There's just so much that's happening right now. I won't even remember it now. I guess this is what God has put on my mind to
A blessed
say.
Man.
By God's grace, man. A blessed man. By God's grace.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the Come and See podcast. Remember to like, comment, subscribe, follow us on social media as well. Until next time. Thank you. Yeah.